were all like a sea when I came to proclaim the day of the Lord amongst them and to preach repentance to them. I was sent to turn people from darkness to the light, that they might receive Christ Jesus. For to as many as should receive him in his light, I saw he would give power to become the sons of God, which power I had obtained by receiving Christ. I was to direct people to the Spirit that gave forth the Scriptures, by which they might be led into all truth, and up to Christ and God, as those had been who gave them forth. Yet I had no slight esteem of the Holy Scriptures. They were very precious to me, for I was in that Spirit by which they were given forth. And what the Lord opened in me, I afterward found was agreeable to them. I could speak much of these things, and many volumes might be written upon them, but all would prove too short to set forth the infinite love, wisdom, and power of God in preparing, fitting, and furnishing me for the service to which he had appointed me, letting me see the depths of Satan on the one hand, and opening to me on the other hand the divine mysteries of his own everlasting kingdom. When the Lord God and his Son Jesus Christ sent me forth into the world to preach his everlasting gospel and kingdom, I was glad that I was commanded to turn people to that inward light, spirit, and grace, by which all might know their salvation and their way to God, even that divine spirit which would lead them into all truth, and which I infallibly knew would never deceive any. Footnote 48. The soul's own assurance of salvation was well proclaimed by Luther, but the high and joyous experience was well nigh lost in Calvinistic England. Fox reaffirms the privilege of this experience. He proclaims no man's infallibility, but rather the infallibility of the Spirit, in union with which a man may know that he pleases God. But with and by this divine power and Spirit of God, the light of Jesus, I was to bring people off from all their own ways to Christ, the new and living way, and from their churches, which men had made and gathered, to the church in God, the general assembly written in heaven, of which Christ is the head. And I was to bring them off from the world's teachers, made by men, to learn of Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, of whom the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." And off from all the world's worships, to know the Spirit of truth in the inward parts, and to be led thereby, that in it they might worship the Father of spirits, who seeks such to worship him. And I saw that they that worshipped not in the Spirit of truth knew not what they worshipped. And I was to bring people off from all the world's religions, which are vain, that they might know the pure religion, might visit the fatherless, the widows, and the strangers, and keep themselves from the spots of the world. Then there would not be so many beggars, the sight of whom often grieved my heart, as it denoted so much hard-heartedness amongst them that professed the name of Christ. I was to bring them off from all the world's fellowships and prayings and singings, which stood in forms without power, that their fellowship might be in the Holy Ghost and in the eternal Spirit of God, that they might pray in the Holy Ghost and sing in the Spirit, and with the grace that comes by Jesus, making melody in their hearts to the Lord, who hath sent his beloved Son to be their Savior, and hath caused his heavenly Son to shine upon all the world, and his heavenly rain to fall upon the just and the unjust, as his outward rain doth fall, and his outward sun doth shine on all. I was to bring people off from Jewish ceremonies, and from heathenish fables, and from men's inventions and worldly doctrines, by which they blew the people about this way and the other, from sect to sect, and from all their beggarly rudiments, with their schools and colleges for making ministers of Christ, who are indeed ministers of their own making, but not of Christ's, and from all their images and crosses and sprinkling of infants, with all their holy days, so-called, and all their vain traditions, which they had instituted since the apostles' days, against all of which the Lord's power was set, in the dread and authority of which power I was moved to declare against them all, and against all that preached, and not freely, as being such as had not received freely from Christ. Footnote 49, After Heathenish Fables. By a clear spiritual insight, Fox saw how large a contribution both Judaism and paganism had made to the historic church. He went to work to carry the Reformation to its logical conclusion. To reinstate primitive Christianity was his aim. Moreover, when the Lord sent me forth into the world, he forbade me to put off my hat to any, high or low, and I was required to thee and thou, all men and women, without any respect to rich or poor, great or small. Footnote 50. The real principles here involved were simplicity of life, equal respect for all men alike, and strict sincerity. It must be confessed that these principles have sometimes been lost sight of, and dress and language have sometimes become a form to those who oppose all forms. And as I traveled up and down, I was not to bid people good morrow or good evening, neither might I bow or scrape with my leg to anyone. And this made the sects and professions to rage. But the Lord's power carried me over all to his glory, and many came to be turned to God in a little time. For the heavenly day of the Lord sprung from on high and broke forth apace, by the light of which many came to see where they were. Oh, the blows, the punchings, beatings, and imprisonments that we underwent for not putting off our hats to men. Some had their hats violently plucked off and thrown away, so that they quite lost them. The bad language and evil usage we received on this account are hard to be expressed, besides the dangers we were sometimes in of losing our lives for this matter, and that by the great professors of Christianity, who thereby discovered they were not true believers. And though it was but a small thing in the eye of man, yet a wonderful confusion it brought among all professors and priests. But blessed be the Lord, many came to see the vanity of that custom of putting off the hat to men, and felt the weight of truth's testimony against it. Footnote 51, that is, the testimony of the Spirit. About this time I was sorely exercised in going to their courts to cry for justice, in speaking and writing to judges and justices to do justly, in warning such as kept public houses for entertainment, that they should not let people have more drink than would do them good, in testifying against wakes, feasts, May games, sports, plays, and shows, which trained up people to vanity and looseness, and led them from the fear of God, and the days set forth for holidays were usually the times wherein they most dishonored God by these things. In fairs also and in markets, I was made to declare against their deceitful merchandise, cheating and cozening, warning all to deal justly, to speak the truth, to let their yea be yea and their nay be nay, and to do unto others as they would have others do unto them, forewarning them of the great and terrible day of the Lord, which would come upon them all. I was moved also to cry against all sorts of music and against the mountebanks playing tricks on their stages, for they burthened the pure life and stirred up people's minds to vanity. I was much exercised, too, with schoolmasters and schoolmistresses, warning them to teach children sobriety in the fear of the Lord, that they might not be nursed and trained up in lightness, vanity, and wantonness. I was made to warn masters and mistresses, fathers and mothers in private families, to take care that their children and servants might be trained up in the fear of the Lord, and that themselves should be therein examples and patterns of sobriety and virtue to them. The earthly spirit of the priest wounded my life, and when I heard the bell toll to call people together to the steeple house, it struck at my life, for it was just like a market bell, to gather people together that the priest might set forth his ware for sale. Oh, the vast sums of money that are gotten by the trade they make of selling the scriptures, and by their preaching from the highest bishop to the lowest priest. What one trade else in the world is comparable to it. Notwithstanding the scriptures were given forth freely, and Christ commanded his ministers to preach freely, and the prophets and apostles denounced judgment against all covetous hirelings and diviners for money. But in this free spirit of the Lord Jesus was I sent forth to declare the word of life and reconciliation freely, that all might come to Christ, who gives freely, and who renews up into the image of God, which man and woman were in before they fell, that they might sit down in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Chapter 3, The Challenge and the First Taste of Prison, 1648-1649. Now as I went toward Nottingham on a first day in the morning, going with friends to a meeting there, when I came on the top of a hill in sight of the town, I espied the great steeple house. And the Lord said unto me, Thou must go cry against yonder great idol, and against the worshippers therein. I said nothing of this to the friends that were with me, but went on with them to the meeting, where the mighty power of the Lord was amongst us, in which I left friends sitting in the meeting, and went away to the steeple house. When I came there, all the people looked like fallow ground, and the priest, like a great lump of earth, stood in his pulpit above. He took for his text these words of Peter, We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. And he told the people that this was the scriptures, by which they were to try all doctrines, religions, and opinions. Now the Lord's power was so mighty upon me and so strong in me that I could not hold, but was made to cry out and say, Oh no, it is not the scriptures. And I told them what it was, namely, the Holy Spirit, by which the holy men of God gave forth the scriptures, whereby opinions, religions, and judgments were to be tried. For it led unto all truth, and so gave the knowledge of all truth. The Jews had the scriptures, and yet resisted the Holy Ghost, and rejected Christ, the bright morning star. They persecuted Christ and his apostles, and took upon them to try their doctrines by the scriptures. But they erred in judgment, and did not try them aright, because they tried without the Holy Ghost. As I spoke thus amongst them, the officers came and took me away and put me into a nasty, stinking prison, the smell whereof got so into my nose and throat that it very much annoyed me. Footnote 52. This is one of the very few instances in his entire career when Fox interrupted a minister. It was neither illegal nor contrary to custom for anyone to speak after the minister was done, a privilege which Fox often used. On this particular occasion, his feeling overmastered him, and he spoke before his time. But that day the Lord's power sounded so in their ears that they were amazed at the voice, and could not get it out of their ears for some time after. They were so reached by the Lord's power in the steeple house. At night they took me before the mayor, aldermen, and the sheriffs of the town. And when I was brought before them, the mayor was in a peevish, fretful temper, but the Lord's power allayed him. They examined me at large, and I told them how the Lord had moved me to come. After some discourse between them and me, they sent me back to prison again. Sometime after, the head sheriff, whose name was John Reckless, sent for me to his house. When I came in, his wife met me in the hall and said, Salvation is come to our house. She took me by the hand and was much wrought upon by the power of the Lord God, and her husband and children and servants were much changed, for the power of the Lord wrought upon them. I lodged at the sheriff's, and great meetings we had in his house. Some persons of considerable condition in the world came to them, and the Lord's power appeared eminently amongst them. This sheriff sent for the other sheriff and for a woman they had had dealings with in the way of trade, and he told her before the other sheriff that they had wronged her in their dealings with her, for the other sheriff and he were partners, and that they ought to make her restitution. This he spoke cheerfully, but the other sheriff denied it, and the woman said she knew nothing of it. But the friendly sheriff said it was so, and that the other knew it well enough. And having discovered the matter and acknowledged the wrong done by them, he made restitution to the woman, and exhorted the other sheriff to do the like. The Lord's power was with this friendly sheriff and wrought a mighty change in him, and great openings he had. The next market day, as he was walking with me in the chamber, he said, I must go into the market and preach repentance to the people. Accordingly, he went in his slippers into the market and into several streets and preached repentance to the people. Several others also in the town were moved to speak to the mayor and magistrates and to the people, exhorting them to repent. Hereupon the magistrates grew very angry, sent for me from the sheriff's house, and committed me to the common prison. When the assize came on, one person was moved to come and offer up himself for me, body for body, yea, life also. But when I should have been brought before the judge, the sheriff's man being somewhat long in bringing me to the sessions house, the judge was risen before I came. At which I understood the judge was offended, and said, I would have admonished the youth if he had been brought before me. For I was then imprisoned by the name of a youth, so I was returned to prison again and put into the common jail. The Lord's power was great among friends, but the people began to be very rude. Wherefore the governor of the castle sent soldiers and dispersed them. After that they were quiet. Both priests and people were astonished at the wonderful power that broke forth. Several of the priests were made tender, and some did confess to the power of the Lord. After I was set at liberty from Nottingham jail, where I had been kept prisoner a pretty long time, I traveled as before in the work of the Lord. Coming to Mansfield Woodhouse, I found there a distracted woman under a doctor's hand, with her hair loose about her ears. He was about to let her blood, she being first bound, and many people about her, holding her by violence, but he could get no blood from her. Footnote 53. This gives a glimpse at the medical practice of the time. Fox frequently showed remarkable power in dealing with cases of hysteria, such as the one here reported. He evidently did not understand the nature of the disease, but his commanding presence, his piercing eye, testified to by even his persecutors, and the absolute assurance which his voice gave that he was equal to the occasion, were worth 1,000 doctors with their lances. Those who understand the psychology of suggestion and the effect of faith on certain diseases will hardly question the simple accounts given here and elsewhere. I desired them to unbind her and let her alone, for they could not touch the spirit in her by which she was tormented. So they did unbind her, and I was moved to speak to her, and in the name of the Lord to bid her be quiet, and so she was. The Lord's power settled her mind, and she mended. Afterwards she received the truth and continued in it to her death, and the Lord's name was honored. Many great and wonderful things were wrought by the heavenly power in those days, for the Lord made bare his omnipotent arm and manifested his power to the astonishment of many by the healing virtue whereby many have been delivered from great infirmities. And the devils were made subject through his name, of which particular instances might be given beyond what this unbelieving age is able to receive or bear. Now, while I was at Mansfield Woodhouse, I was moved to go to the steeple house there and declare the truth to the priest and people. But the people fell upon me in great rage, struck me down, and almost stifled and smothered me. And I was cruelly beaten and bruised by them with their hands and with Bibles and sticks. Then